Are you connected? That's a great question. This morning I'm continuing my Lenten teaching series entitled Five Regrets of the Dying. We've gotten familiar over these last few weeks with Paul Anka's iconic 1968 lyrics, Regrets, I've Had a Few. Beginning in 1969, those lyrics gain for Frank Sinatra a bankroll. Those lyrics from his signature song, My Way, earned him millions. But in 2014, the reality of those lyrics, Regrets, I've Had a Few, has the power to bankrupt you and me emotionally, spiritually, and given enough time, even physically wrecking our lives. Regrets. What are yours? Regrets. What impact do they have on you? This series is based on the insightful observations of Bronnie Ware, an Australian hospice nurse who is spending her life helping women and men come to the last days of their life on earth. Having conversation, exploring their feelings. As Bronnie has committed herself in this wonderful hospice work, she has begun to notice some recurring themes from the dearly departing. She began blogging these themes and noticing that there were some familiar categories. Her blog received so much attention that eventually she published a book entitled The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, : Lessons, A Life Transformed by the Dearly Departing. The book talks more about how she has been transformed by what she has heard, but the basis of the book are these five powerful regrets of dying people. This morning we come to number 4. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friend. My hope in sharing this series is that you and I can get in touch with the regrets that are shaping our future and learn how to begin to live regret-free, to truly know the resurrection power of Christ so that our last days on earth are marked by gratitude rather than regret. I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. Bronnie Ware writes, often they, the dying, would not truly realize the full benefits of old friends until their dying weeks, and it was not always possible to track them down. Many had become so caught up in their own lives that they had let golden friendships slip by over the years. They were many deep regrets about not giving friendships the time and effort that they deserved. Everyone misses their friends when they are dying. It is common for anyone in a busy lifestyle to let friendships slip. But when you are faced with your approaching death, the physical details of life fall away. People do want to get their financial affairs in order, if possible, but it is not money or status that holds true importance for them. They want to get things in order more for the benefit of those they love. Usually, though, they are too ill and weary to ever manage this task. It all comes down to love and relationships in the end. That is all that remains in the final weeks. Love and relationships. Bronnie Ware, in her observation of women and men coming to the end of their days and experiencing the regret of not more fully investing in their friends, points to an age-old struggle. The struggle to balance the part of our lives that focuses on to-do and the part of our lives that focuses on the to-be. How do we balance the to-do, the relentless demands of bosses, of family life, of the expectations others have for us, of the expectations we have of ourselves, and on the other hand, the to-be part of who we are? The emotional investments we make for the sake of others, the bonds that last throughout eternity. It's this struggle that the wisdom of old King Solomon speaks to in our text for the morning, the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. And I invite you to turn there in your Bibles. It's an interesting book because Solomon gives observation as to the challenges he sees in life. And he starts Ecclesiastes out with a heavy word. He says, meaninglessness. Meaninglessness. Now, if you're reading an older translation of the Bible, your text may say, vanity, vanity. It's all fluff. It's all cotton candy. The appearance of something sweet and good that simply vanishes in thin air. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, begins to bring into focus this challenge about which Bronnie Ware speaks as she listens to the dying. The challenge of to be and the challenge of to do. Here's how King Solomon puts it. I observed yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Like two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I wonder, do you know something of the struggle in your life between the to-do and the to-be? This example is not only from the richness of King Solomon in the Old Testament, written perhaps as early as the 10th century BC, that's a long time ago, but it surfaces again in the experience of Jesus with two sisters in Bethany, Mary and Martha. Martha, the one who wants to focus on the to-do list. Mary, who wants to focus on the to-be priority. Remember that story? Martha gets all agitated. Lord, how can you let Mary just be there with you when I've got pots and pans to deal with in the kitchen? I've got dinner to prepare. What's the deal? What we learn from this example is we live in a world that really has contempt for people who focus on the to-be list of life. Let's think about it honestly. Rarely are thinkers our heroes, at least not when they're alive. Rarely are artists and poets and musicians the one we hold in highest value in our society. Whom do we hold in highest value? The well-to-do entrepreneur, the athlete who gets across the goal line, the one who fights against all the odds and is the victor. We are predetermined to praise the to-do. And the to-be doesn't have nearly as much impact. And yet what Solomon teaches us, what Mary and Martha teach us, what the dearly departing teach us is this. If we allow our to-do list to dominate our lives, we will one day wake up and say, why? Oh, why did I spend so much time on my to-do list? With whom will I share all that I have? Parker Palmer is a Quaker inspirational writer, and I like this word from a recent blog entitled, Being More Than Being Useful. Camas Lilies by Lynn Unger is one of my favorite poems. I posted it earlier this year. Today I needed to read it again. Let me pause and say I had to do a little reading about camas lilies. We in the Deep South don't know much about camas lilies. They're native to the Wild West of America. They're a lily that blooms in the beautiful blue like the bluebonnet of my native Texas. We're told that Native Americans prize the camas lilies because picking the leaves, drying them, and grinding them up produced a flour substance that could be used for baking. We're told that our westward ho ancestors in the 19th century found camas lilies to be a prize treat for hogs. They go hog wild over camas lilies. Parker Palmer goes on to say, I work hard at what I do, and I bet you do too. So maybe you need the same reminder I do. While my work is important, it is not a measure of my value or worth. I think guys need to hear that especially. I think that is a word that really, really needs to sink in to guys' hearts. My work is important, but it is not a measure of my value or worth. Who we be is far more important than what we do or how well we do it. That's why we're called, get this, human beings, not human doings. But let me pause there and say, how many of us, if we're really honest, look at each other for what they can do for us rather than the power that comes when they simply be with us? We pay a terrible price, Parker writes, if we value our doing over our being. When we have to stop doing because of a job loss, illness, accident, or the diminishments that come with age, we lose our sense of worthiness. Camas Lilies reminds me to value being more than I value being useful, so that even when I'm forced to lay down my work, I can retain my sense of personal worth. Put simply and plainly, I can still love myself. That's a gift many people need. If I can't give it to myself, a sense of love and value, then how can I give it to others, a sense of love and value? I wonder, how well are you doing balancing the to-do of life that in its very nature will be temporary with the to-be of life, which by its very nature will be eternal? You have a young family and you have to work as hard as you can because you've got bills to pay and you're trying hard to get ahead. You've got children that are beginning to grow up and you have a relentless schedule of soccer practices and scout meetings and piano lessons. You hardly have time to breathe. Your life is marked by the busyness of doing. You don't even have time to sit down and have dinner together. You're doing really great things. Maybe you have a boss that has a relentless to-do list for you. And we're living a day of economic uncertainty, and you're scared to death. If you don't do more with less for longer hours, you might not have that job. And yet the most important relationships in life, the reason you're doing it in the first place, those relationships are taking a second place. I don't have the answer to the balance because I struggle with it myself. I'm a guy, and so I tend toward the to-do side because I love what I do. And I love being called to serve you. But here's what I've noticed. You don't have crisis on a convenient schedule. You don't have babies at the right time and in the right place. The to-do list in a growing church is a wonderful challenge, but a challenge. I think of the times that I've gotten up from a Thanksgiving dinner table where I was being with my family because I wanted to do for you. And then I remember times when I've made it a priority to be with my family. I find out someone is in need, and I either feel within my own spirit or someone else makes me feel guilty for putting a priority on the to-be side rather than the to-do side. And yet when it's all said and done, Solomon tells us, when it's all said and done, the dearly departing tell us, it's the to-be investment that we make in those that will be with us for the rest of our lives that matters most. Some of you are at this place in life, some of you are not. Many of you this morning are still working tirelessly to provide for your family. You've got school clothes and braces and college to pay for. And woe unto you who have daughters, you have weddings coming. You're envisioning a nest egg at some point so you can have a measure of security for the future, whatever that means in our society today. What the dearly departing are telling us is, unless we're intentional about the to-be part of life, we will get to that place where our work is done and have no one with whom to truly share the victory of life. I wonder, as you look back over your life, whether it's been a short life or now a longer life, what are those relationships that were so important to you when you were in high school or in college, or those young families in the neighborhood when you were first starting to have babies together? Those important being relationships that have been overtaken by the to-do of life. I wonder if we're ever to find balance, how we might say, there will always be more to do than I can do. I think that's a reality. And as long as we let others determine our to-do list, there will never be time to be with those who matter most to us. I wonder, in this season especially, what relationships have you allowed to languish? And you don't want to come to the end of your life with the regret, I wish I had spent more time with my friends. A friend that you can pick up the phone and call and say, you know, we've let some time and distance get between us, but you're one of those I want to be with me for the rest of my life. There is not a thing you can do for me except walk with me, be my friend, remind me of those great times we shared together, be a confidant with whom I can really, really bear my soul. I wonder what a text I'll even let you do it now. A text, even now. Or an email to reconnect with somebody who really made a difference in your life once upon a time. I wonder what it would be worth to you for just a moment to lay down the to-do list and focus on to be. I'm touched by this poem, Camas Lilies. Camas can also be pronounced Quamish. I'm choosing Camish because it speaks to this balance. As you're seeing the Camish lilies on the screen, hear these words and wonder with me in your spirit the name of the person or persons with whom you really ought to reconnect. Consider the lilies of the field, the blue banks of Camas opening into acres of sky along the road. Would the longing to lie down and be washed by that beauty abate if you knew their usefulness? How the native ground their bulbs for flower, how the settlers' hogs uprooted them, grunting in gleeful oblivion as the flowers fell. And you, what of your rushed and useful life? Imagine setting it all down. Papers, plans, appointments, everything, leaving only a note. Gone to the fields to be lovely. Be back when I'm through blooming. Even now, unneeded and uneaten, the camas lilies gaze out above the grass from their tender blue eyes. Even in sleep, your life will shine. Make no mistake, of course your work will always matter. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. I don't want to come to the end of my life and regret the loss of lifelong friendships. But if I don't make some major changes in the way I balance my to-do list and my to-be list, that could happen to me. I wonder if I'm the only one who struggles with the to-do and the to-be. Here's the truth. Somebody needs you simply to be with them. And here's the corollary truth. There's someone you need to simply be with you. Let's make a decision today with God's help that we are going to find delight and be with each other. Amen.